Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Jim Curdy from the Finnish American Heritage Center and Dave Mackey from the Finnish American Reporter. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
It's always a pleasure.
January is a great time, not only because we have lots of lovely winter weather to enjoy, but also because Hakenpipe is in January. I've been to this festival now, I think, every year that I have been up here in the Copper Country, so this would be my sixth one. It's really a highlight of the winter, and it really helps, I guess, enjoy getting through some of the tougher months that we have during the year.
I think exactly so. By the time Hakenpipe is over, you know, we can already be thinking spring. And that actually goes to the old folk lore about Hakenpipe. Hakenpipe was the halfway mark of winter. And if you had enough hay in your barn and enough grain and you had enough wood in your woodshed for at least half the winter yet, then you knew that you were set. Because Hakenpipe was the old folk halfway mark of winter.
Is it something that is celebrated or was celebrated in Finland, or is this sort of a local tradition?
It's a Finnish-American event. It's a pretty much a Copper Country event. In Finland, it was part of the folklore. And so people would, they would, like any other name day, they might have some sayings with it. And Hakenpipe was just marked in their head as the halfway mark, but there wasn't any kind of celebration. But making it a Finnish-American celebration, we had the ability to make it anything we wanted.
A few years ago, I had the pleasure of talking to some exchange students, or at least they were visiting from Finland. They were here, and they were taking part in Hakenpipe, and then I got a chance to interview them while, at the event. And one of them said, it's kind of crazy. They felt that there was more Finnishness in the celebrations here than what they were even used to back home in Finland.
We often hear that from people, yeah. We have to be very intentional here because, of course, living in Finland, everything's Finland. But here we intentionally try to keep this part of our heritage. And in doing so, we kind of make it stand out in a way that they're not accustomed to.
Now, the Finnish people, the American Finns, are spread out, of course, over a large area. And probably go through you, Dave, the people trying to keep in touch. What is the interest outside of the area of the festival?
Well, it's actually in the number of years that I've been involved, that's grown quite noticeably. In fact, we have people who will drive from several states over. They make Hakenpipe one of their days on the calendar that they mark. This is something that they'll come to from Minnesota, Wisconsin, from the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. We've had a number of people from a number of different states who make it an important priority to be here.
As well as Canada. And there's a man who very often comes from Finland.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen the festival spread to other areas? Are there other people maybe doing a version of it?
Well, oddly, yeah. A couple of years ago, a group in Massachusetts had a Hakenpipe. And they pretty much imitated the things that we were doing. And then there's a place in Finland called the Immigrant Museum. And they have enacted a Hakenpipe there because they're expressing the Finnish-American culture. So they do it in that way.
One of the sayings, I don't know if it's just a local thing, and then people talk, the bear rolls over. I've heard that expression mm-hmm. used with Hakenpipe. This is for a winter that's been as rough as it's been so far. I'm nearly setting a record for snowfall in December. It doesn't look like January's off to a milder start by any stretch of the imagination. So you're going to have plenty of snow, I think. It is kind of a neat thing to celebrate. Winter being half over, for different reasons than what the Finnish people would have celebrated for. But for us, just to know, it doesn't, it's not going to stick around forever. It's actually half over.
Well, I think so. And it's also, if we're going to live here, we better make the most of living here. And rather than sitting in front of a computer screen or television, get out and enjoy winter. Otherwise, it's not much fun to live in the Copper Country.
In fact, it's making me remember one time. I'm typically on some outdoor duties on the big festival day, and I remember one afternoon of Hakenpipe. I don't recall the year right now, but we had the entire crowd having a loud cheer when the digital thermometer nearby registered one. And in fact, that's proof that, and we've noticed this by observation, that the colder it gets, the larger the crowd.
You had last year, people were actually saying it's too warm. You actually had a really warm Hagenbeiva last year.
And fewer people show up when it's warm.
That is funny. We wanted to do this interview now so that we're sort of ahead of the of all the events, because Hagenbeiva has definitely grown over the years. You have the one big celebration day where there's the parade that goes through downtown Hancock and a lot of activities. But that is, you know, sort of like towards the end of the festival, which now runs a month long.
Mm. Yeah, and we throw everything that's finished in our schedule, because it's really a way of giving people all sorts of opportunities to either identify with their heritage or to get in touch with the Finnish culture, which is so pervasive here in the Copper Country. And some people like to do it one way. Maybe it's in a church service, or maybe it's in outdoor games, or maybe it's in food and folk dance or whatever. But we give people all sorts of opportunities. And by doing that, we have a lot of people partake in some part of Hagenbeiva.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the schedule of events that you have for the for Hagenbeiva. You have something that starts out even as early as this upcoming Tuesday.
Yeah, and this is Community Arts Center. It's always been supportive of Hagenbeiva, and they have every year now a Kalevala. Kalevala is the epic poem of Finland. It's their old mythology. And Community Arts Center has a Kalevala exhibit. And they invite local artists, people who create any kind of art, to be in this juried show. And the opening exhibit is on Tuesday, the exhibit opens, I should say, on Tuesday the 10th. And they will have a reception on Hagenbeiva, the main day, which is, of course, January 28th.
And then coming up on Thursday, the Nordic Film Series is something that runs throughout the year, and there's a number of different terrific films that are shown. This has got to be an extra special one because of being in Hagenbeiva.
It's a really nice film. It's about the women's role in the war, and when Finland talks about the war, they mean World War II period. Finland actually fought three wars: Winter War, Continuation War, and the Lapland War, but we tend to call them the war. And the women were left, you know, Finland was really defending its independence and fighting a much bigger neighbor, Russia. So the women were left to run the factories, to run the farms, to take care of the children. And this documentary really brings out the sacrifices they made. And even after the war, when many of the men came back injured, head injuries, etc., and how difficult life was, because Finland was decimated. You know, they had nothing left. They were totally impoverished. But it's a touching film. It's a very nice documentary.
In fact, it won the 2012 Jussi Award for Best Documentary, and that's Finland's equivalent of the Oscars. And it's I think that speaks to its quality right there. It's an award-winning documentary that I think everyone will be. They should make a point to see it.
And the connection, perhaps, to our local area is that many people, older people, remember that during the war everyone was sending packages to Finland, and so they have a connection to the story that's being told here.
That'll be an interesting film to see. Okay, and then what else?
Well, Friday the 13th, lucky Friday the 13th, the Calumet Theater will host its annual Club Findigo. You know, they have Club Indigo, but in January it becomes Findigo, and it's always a Finnish film, this time a Finnish-American documentary called Good Man in the Woods. And then they follow that with a dinner, and it's always a popular event.
Do you know what that film's about?
It's a film by Northern Michigan University professor Michael Lokinen. It's a documentary on a man from Keweenaw County.
Oh.
And it's a little bit older film, but it's still very, very timely. And it's kind of about a guy who lives off the grid.
Okay. Easy to do in Keweenaw County.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the food, it's always, at least they try to match the food with the film in some degree. Is it going to be a Finnish meal, do you know?
You know, I've heard what it is, and I can't quite recall.
Oh, okay. So it's a big secret, then.
It's not promise quality, though.
Yeah. They always make sure it's representative food, and I know I've heard, but maybe I blocked some of this out, so something of Hagenbeiva will be a surprise.
All right. And then this is something new for this year for your music, entertainment, and education.
Yeah, a few years ago, we started calling people who we bring into the community to do music as our artists in residence, because they tend to come for about a week. And this year, we're reintroducing to the Finnish community an instrument that the knowledge of it has died out. It's a single string instrument related to the kantele, but it's played with a bow. And this instrument was used in home services, and it was used in small congregations that didn't have an organ. In other words, it was mostly for sacred music. And by playing that bow and using frets, you keep the pitch for the hymn. You know, you pick the right key, you pick the right note to start on, and then it keeps the pitch. And it's kind of a gentle, mournful sound. The Norwegians reintroduced it to the Norwegian-American community several years ago in the Twin Cities, and now they're coming up to reintroduce it to us. And we have a few of these instruments in our archives, so we know for sure that it was used here in the Copper Country, for example.
Well, I just so happen to have a sample clip of this instrument being played, so let's go ahead and take a listen to that.
Great.
Versicano.
Correct. And in non-Finnish language, it's Sammodikon.
Is it hard to play?
No, it's not hard to play. It's the frets have numbers on them, and so the music books are often just numbers. So you don't need any music background at all to play it. You just follow the numbers as your guide.
So people taking part in this workshop, are they going to build one of these, right?
Well, the option is that you can build and learn to play in a two-day workshop, or you could just attend the part for building, which we have one person already doing, or just partake in the learning to play. And then they will. There'll be a cameo appearance by the Virsikanno people at the Tori, you know, on Saturday at Heikinpäivä, and then on Sunday at the hymn sing, they'll be sort of the headliner group of the hymn sing at Zion Lutheran.
I'm seeing on the schedule events. I'm looking at Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Is it the same workshop over and over again, or is it one building on top of each other?
Wednesday, Thursday, in the afternoon from 1 to 5, the first half of Wednesday and the first half of Thursday, you're building the instrument. In the second half of each of those days, you're learning to play it. So it's a combination.
Okay. And that's the 25th, 26th, and 27th. So as you see,
on the 27th, it's just the playing part, so people can start fresh there.
Gotcha. Okay. Saying that, as you can see, this is a, you know, these events run throughout the month, and so we're leading up to the big day, Saturday, January 28th, where you have a number of different things going on in the same day. How much preparation does it take to get ready for a day like that?
Well, we start planning for the current Heikinpäivä not long after the previous one ends. Planning gets into high gear once the summer starts winding down, because there's a lot of elements, as you said, and they need to be lined up in a way that we know everything will work. Because in typical Finnish-American fashion, a lot of people are involved in a lot of different things, so we need to make sure that schedules mesh and that people can be where they need to be, when they need to be, and can have a good time while they're doing it.
Our first meeting about Heikinpäivä 2018 will be in February.
I believe it. Yeah. I definitely believe it. Now, on that day last year, I learned a trick, and I'm going to share this trick, and I trust nobody will do what I did. I went and got my pie before the parade.
Oh.
Okay. And we had always did kind of follow the crowd and go see the parade and then go and participate in some of the events and then find my way down into the Tori, and where they have the different pies and, of course, plenty of things to browse around. But I thought if you have about an hour before the parade gets going there to get in there, and I thought that that I'm going to get my pie there before the parade.
You might have foiled your plan by announcing that on radio.
But you do bring up a good point. I think it's important that the people who are there to enjoy Heikinpäivä, it's I think, to everyone's advantage to be outdoors viewing the parade, and then shortly after the parade, there's a lot of activities outdoors. You want to kind of be around as that parade is coming to the end of the street and the games are starting. There's a lot to see and do there.
And we've added something just in the last couple of days that's going to happen right after the parade. So, you know, in the parade, we have a lot of people wearing our costumes, which represent Finnish and Finnish-American folk characters, like Heikki Lunta and St. Urho. And then we have a lot of people who will be in traditional costume. And right following the parade, people will move into the Quincy Green, you know, the area between the Methodist Church and the Heritage Center. And there's going to be something we're calling Karrunpeijaiset, which is sort of like the bear's game, because, you know, it's this idea of the folklore bear. And it's going to be, we're not going to tell you everything, but it's people want to be there to watch it and participate in it.
Exactly what I was trying to hint at was that you don't want to get caught in the food line when the parade is ending. You want to be outside to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all you're going to give me on. You're going to tell me what it is, huh?
Well, it's going to be a participatory kind of circle. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what the word is in English. Sort of a follow the leader, joining hands, and it's going to go into a circle that then unwinds itself.
Okay. Well, it definitely sounds like a lot of fun, because there's a lot of things going on during that on the Quincy Green. So many things to, you know, not only watch if you just want to be a spectator that are hilarious to see, but you can also participate. You don't have the boot tossing anymore.
The boot tossing got a little...
It was somewhat stale. It had kind of, maybe after a hiatus it might come back, but we found that it wasn't as exciting for both participants and spectators as the events that we've brought to the green this year and in the recent past.
Would you still do the wife-carrying contest?
That's a hit, and yeah. It's as much fun for the spectators, as you said, as the participants. But I've also seen with my own two eyes that when people participate once, they typically become regulars, and it's a lot more fun when you're taking part. I can tell you that for sure.
And it's more street theater than competition. It's just, you know, people running in the snow. And then we have them, the wife-carrying contest really represents a Saturday in the Copper Country. So you start off, you have to clean the house and shake your carpets, then you have your sauna, and then you have your coffee afterwards, and everything has to be done in the right order. Like, for example, you know, traditionally you always served your company's coffee before you served your own. So the judges are watching all of that, and it becomes comical because, of course, the snow is slowing everybody down.
Yeah. It's great to have as many participants in that as you can, and if you're trying to find a way to stay warm, that's a good way
Absolutely.
To get warm.
Yeah.
If you find you're getting chilled, give yourself a reason to run, get the blood flowing. And your kids, too, if they're... just around for the festival, there's no reason they can't find themselves a kick sled and take part in the good fun races that we have as well. Those have to be only for children because of the size of the kick sleds, but the more the merrier. It's another good way to stay warm and enjoy it while you're doing it.
And then we also have the whip sled, you know, which goes around in a circle, and these are all kind of fun ways of telling people these were the traditions, and it reminds us of the heritage that we take for granted sometimes.
Now, you had a special Hankoki Heikki presentation during the Finnish Independence Day. You have a family that was selected, and traditionally the Hankoki Heikki rides the giant kick sled during the parade. So are you going to pile a family on there?
The world's largest kick sled, by the way. But we haven't quite figured out how they're going to. That'll be one of the elements of surprise, perhaps, in the parade. But this is the first time we've had a family rather than a single person. A few times we've had couples. And this is a family that, husband and wife and five children, who have all been very involved in Finnish activities. So we're really pleased with this selection, and the community is telling us that this was a very good selection. Heppokoski family. Mark and Riikka,
right.
Heppokoski and their five children.
The parade starts at 11 a.m., and then, of course, there's a lot of different events that follow that. If you get too heated up while you're... you know, running around with the whip sled or doing the wife-carrying contest, you can always cool down by jumping in with a polar bear dive.
That's something that's
It's more a rite of passage.
I was just going to admit that it's something that a lot of the local college students from Finlandia and Michigan Tech, they prove their adopted UPER medal by taking the plunge, pun fully intended. And it's always something that draws a lot of people to participate, but also another very popular spectator sport.
Yeah, and it's not just college students. We had one lady celebrated her 80th birthday by diving in with her son-in-law and grandson.
And it's even become an international affair. I'll ask Jim to help me out, but I know there have been a number of folks from different countries who have not only represented themselves as adopted UPERS, but their homelands as well by taking part in the polar bear dive. Were there some from Spain and from...
A lot of really warm countries, like Asian countries and African countries and South American countries. I think it's something they just think they have to do, you know, while they were here.
There's one time I saw a young lady, you know, walk up to the hole in the ice, take her coat off, and she was in a bikini, jump in. She comes out, and then somebody puts on her a plaid jacket and a big, you know, Elmer Fudd hat, holds up a sign, I'm a UPER now.
I remember that one.
Love
and
it.
One woman who was engaged jumped in her mother's wedding dress.
Oh my goodness.
So one of the things that's worth mentioning is that there are prizes for the best dive, and you know, often it's, again, street theater or costume, and there's prizes for the best entries in the parade. And anything that we have commissioned ourselves isn't eligible, so it's pretty easy money to win if someone wants to express ethnic pride, or if they want to celebrate winter in some way. They should be in the parade and make some noise and maybe win a prize.
Let's go ahead and take or go down the remaining events of Haken Paiva so we can get them all in.
Well, so we talked a lot about Saturday and the games, the kick sled races, wife carrying, and all the different things you could outdoors, and the polar bear. Indoors, and both in the Methodist Church in Hancock and the Finnish American Heritage Center, there's the market, the tori, and there's a lot of vendors, including food vendors and music. There'll be live music in the Heritage Center. And then that evening, there'll be what we call iltamat, which is dance and hors d'oeuvres. And we have this year for the dance, Wilho Kilpela and friends from the Marquette area. And we've gotten a lot of compliments on our food that we've served at these evening events. And then the following day, Sunday, is the traditional Finnish hymn singing concert. And it's sort of a combination of singing the old Finnish hymns, which many people have missed, and then performance pieces. And so these Virsikannel people will be one of the elements, and our local Kantele group will be an element. And I think there'll be some soloist. And it's a very nice afternoon event. And then if you know anything about Zion Lutheran Church, they always have marvelous Finnish goodies afterwards. So it's a great deal. We've done something just slightly different. We're going to have actually our enrichment classes following the main day, which is the first time we've done this. So we'll have a family fun night on February 3rd, and this is open to anyone with or without children, but in particular it's for families, you know, parents and children, to have a good time. And it's a variety of games and sort of simple circle dances and things, kind of aerobic type of,
yeah. I brought my family there for the first time last year, and I can say that my children, who are now 10 and almost 6, about 2 days after that event, they were asking me when the next one was. It's just a great way to introduce the youngest of the young people to Finnish American and Finnish culture.
Yeah, rather than tell them about it, let them experience
it. Sure.
And then the final thing will be on February 6th, we'll have our enrichment classes of squeaky cheese making, or Leipä Justo, and Kantele playing, five-string Kantele. And these are both low-impact events that are easy. It's quite comical because many people take the squeaky cheese class every year. I think it's partly social interaction that they enjoy.
For people that want to find out more about these events, is there a good place to see the schedule?
We're fine. We have a web page, and certainly you can find it there. Mm-hmm. But also Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which a lot of people are using that. And we have flyers floating around town. people want to pick up a copy of the flyer, we have them available at the Heritage Center and at Northwind Books and a few other places. And where else?
It's hard to not find out the information about the festival. We have a good number of folks on our committee, and we've got some good support from media sources like yourself. And if there's ever any doubt, give us a call at the Heritage Center. I'd be glad to answer the question or steer you in the direction of whoever might be able to.
All right. But the flyers are real handy because it has all the times and dates, and mm-hmm. if there's a charge, it has the amount. And we're very happy to hand those out.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the program. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, and we're really excited that you're doing the polar bear dive this year.
No, you said that, not me. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.